And welcome to a second edition. Yes, there was so much great feedback. The people want more. So the second edition of the Panthers podcast, Bill Voth with Brian Strickland and Max Henson to do another one. And we have a guest on this week's show, Panthers defensive line coach Eric Washington will be joining us in a little bit. But before we get to that, let's talk about what happened this past weekend. Panthers rookie mini camp, our first chance to see the new guys. And Brian, we'll go to you first. What were your initial thoughts after seeing them?
Max, isn't this actually the third podcast? Don't we have one that predates Bill Voth existing at Panthers.com?
Well, did it really exist then?
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you put the pre-draft and the post-draft together into just the draft podcast, and now
could be
2.5.
We set we set the tone.
2.13.
Yeah.
We built the foundation. That's right.
What did you ask me?
Something about this weekend. Yeah, remember all the way back to this weekend, there was actually football being played. I know it's been a long time before since we've actually seen people on that field.
Yeah, rookie minicamp.
Yes.
Right. I have vivid memories still, though, of what Christian McCaffrey did out there. Yeah. You ask about my observations. Pretty obvious one. I think that was a storyline for everyone who was out there, but it's because it was true, just how good he looked out there. Among some other people that were really invested, you have the other rookies making their debut. You have tryout guys trying to get their foot in the door. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey looked like a veteran out there among those guys as far as the way he moved, both from a speed standpoint and an efficiency standpoint. And, you know, along with Curtis Samuel, Max, I guess it kind of gave us a glimpse of what's to come once the whole squad's together.
Yeah, I mean, during the draft when we saw the Panthers took McCaffrey and Samuel in the first two rounds, everybody knew that McCaffrey and Samuel were very fast and very athletic, and that's what was confirmed for us at rookie minicamp. Those two guys are just kind of next-level athletes, and especially against a lot of tryout players and young players looking to get noticed, they stood out, which everybody hoped and expected they would, and that was really my main takeaway. You know, again, it's important to remember the level of competition they're up against at rookie minicamp. There are no pads. There is no live contact. So it's not quite, you know, football in its purest form that you're waiting to see once we get down to training camp in Spartanburg. But this was the first step in a long process, and they aced it. I mean, those two look completely ready to help move this offense in a new direction, and I think that's really what all of us, and the fan base included, is excited to see how this offense does take shape.
Samuel, I think, was held out for most of Saturday, but it's funny, thinking back to Friday, a lot of what he did was overshadowed because of Christian, and understandably so. He comes in with the name, he's the number one pick, but Samuel did do good things vertically on Friday that I think we probably just really aren't coming top of mind because Christian looked different. There was a different speed about him. It reminds me of Kelvin's first rookie minicamp, Kelvin Benjamin, when he first showed up. It was he doesn't fit in here.
Right.
He's better
in a good
than the, he's better right. He's right. better than the rest of these guys.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see when McCaffrey and Samuel, especially though McCaffrey, get together with the veterans in a couple weeks for the third phase of OTAs. And a guy who gets to go against these guys every day in practice now, Eric Washington.
Yeah.
That should help the defense out a little bit. We will talk to him after this short little break. And we really don't have commercials yet, so it's really just a musical transition. Eric Washington after this. Some inside baseball here of how this podcast is working, as we're new in these podcast days, is that they're playing some music underneath us right now, but that's being done in post-production. So we don't know what music they're playing, but I look forward to the day that we're able to request some songs.
You got any guesses what it is?
But I don't think we have the rights to it, so maybe some sort of generic Springsteen.
How long do you have to
play
it? Like
Summersteen?
Yeah. How long can you play it if you don't have the rights? Like 10 seconds? Something like that?
If you're lucky. But I'm sure Eric Washington really cares about all this talk. Joining us now, as promised, Panthers defensive line coach Eric Washington. And coach, if we were going to intro you, would you have an intro song?
Yes, I think I would. I would probably do something with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
Love it.
So that's my favorite group. Maybe September.
Okay.
If you're lucky enough to be invited back on to the podcast one day, we'll have to remember.
I will say, I've always said this, September is the ultimate bar mitzvah song. First song that's ever played at a bar mitzvah, September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'd say maybe like 80% of the time. Gets everybody dancing. Everybody, all ages, they're on the floor. Nice. I love it.
My favorite group.
It's good for a football coach too, right? Yeah. September, big month.
Well, speaking of groups, the NFC South as a group looks like, to me, and I wrote a little something about this last week, it looks like there's an arms race going on, but on the opposite side of the ball, that in on offense, it seems like teams are just gathering weapons. Have you noticed that going on?
Definitely. You look at, I mean, Ted Ginn, who was with us, and now he's still in the division with New Orleans, and I forget the receiver's name from Washington who's now in Tampa.
Deshaun Jackson.
It's happening that way. You know, we've obviously helped ourselves with a couple of our draft picks with the speed and the versatility that those guys have. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to defend in addition to the guys who have the football in their hand every play. So it's going to be a competitive division.
Adrian Peterson, how much tread do you think he has left on his tires down there going down to New Orleans?
You have to respect Adrian Peterson, and I think we certainly will. And all of the years that I've been in the National Football League, when we begin to prepare for Adrian Peterson, we understand one thing: he's never down. And so we got to get population to the football, and we got to make sure that we're single-minded in trying to get him on the ground every snap.
Of course, Eric, I know you're excited about seeing how your new defensive line can handle those challenges. I want to talk to you about some of the new guys, but I want to talk to you first of all about some of the old new guys, the guys that you brought in, you know, in particular, obviously Julius Peppers, and what you've seen from him and how excited about coaching him again, right? You've coached him before.
I did. I had a chance to work with Julius at Chicago in 2010. We had a really good season. Came up a little bit short, lost to Green Bay in the NFC Championship, but Julius had a tremendous year that particular year, and so it's good to have him in the room again. The talent that he has, the leadership that he brings to the position group, is going to be fun.
How old does he look to you? Because it says that he's 37. That's what it technically says.
When we're out on the grass working, Julius looks like he did 7 years ago when I had the first opportunity to coach him. He still looks like he's a dynamic player. The combination of his size and the ability to move, I don't see a lot that's changed with him. He's aged extremely well.
Mario Addison's kind of the young guy of the older guard there. He'll be 30 before the season starts. You also Kawan Short, you know, two guys that you know well that you're bringing back into the fold. I mean, is their best football still ahead of them?
Without question. Mario looks better now this spring than he did last spring. He's comfortable in our system. I can say just about anything to Mario, and he understands what we're talking about. So we have some symmetry going on between him and KK, and I think the best is yet to come for both of those guys. They still have some things that they'd like to improve on. And so they're going to do a great job, and I'm excited about the fact that we were able to retain Mario.
Yeah, Coach, I want to get into Mario a little bit more with you too, because he really the start of his career was kind of an afterthought and overlooked in a lot of ways, and then developed into this player who obviously got rewarded this offseason coming back. And it was interesting hearing Dave Edelman, general manager of the Panthers, talk about the fact that he envisioned kind of a larger role for Mario, because he'd always kind of been the guy who was looked at as maybe a little undersized, was going to come in third down, obvious passing down situations, and rush the passer. But do you think that he's proven that he can handle more of a workload and can be out on the field beyond just those third down pass rush situations?
Absolutely. Mario has done what you hope all players are able to realize. He's developed. And he's continuing to develop, which means that every aspect of what it takes to play in our system, as far as our fundamentals are concerned, Mario continues to grow in those areas. And that will expand the situations that we can utilize him in. And also count on production in those situations, whether it's first and second down as a point of attack run defender. Obviously, Mario has proven that he's a dynamic pass rusher and can win one-on-one. So He's earned the right to have a larger role, and we feel comfortable with him being in the game in just about any situation.
Yeah, and Brian mentioned KK as well, and for him, as a guy that you were here when the Panthers invested the draft choice in him,
right.
And you kind of been able to watch him grow into where he is now, and obviously he's one of the top defensive tackles in the league. Was it rewarding for you to see that happen? And when you guys drafted him, did you envision that he would be this good, really this early, and be a guy that could post at a defensive tackle position 11 sacks in a season? Because we know that's so hard to do when you're playing inside and you've got to get through so much traffic to get to the quarterback.
Well, the insight, Max, that I had was I had the opportunity to work him out privately. And so when you watch film of a college player and you're trying to assess what he can be in the NFL against NFL caliber players, the thing that I was able to do was I got closer to my assessment of him by having an opportunity to work him out. And the combination of that private workout and his film and just his overall personality, I thought that he had a chance to be pretty good, to be pretty special. And to his credit, he's come in and worked. He's done everything we've asked him to do. And so I'm not surprised that he's had the success that he's had.
Before we get to the newest of guys, we'll talk to apparently a veteran now, Vernon Butler. I don't think he's a veteran, but technically he is. What are the differences in Vernon right now as a recorder in May versus, say, when you got him a year ago?
Well, like all rookies, I mean, Vernon was just trying to figure out how to get to the practice field. And it's a big transition for all of these guys when they come in. And then you're throwing a lot of position nuance. You're throwing a scheme that has multiple layers to it. And so he's trying to filter all of that stuff and apply it. The game's exceptionally fast, and he's playing against the strongest guys on the football field. So there's just a lot of levels to how certain rookies – and they're all different. Some guys adjust quicker than others. I think Vernon – had the luxury, if you will, of having two established players in front of him. This spring, I think Vernon has matured personally. I think he realizes that he's expected to be productive. And I think his approach, how he's approached the offseason workouts, what he's done on the grass so far, there's a huge difference now as opposed to where he was a year ago, to his credit.
If healthy, because I think that was another thing that perhaps set him back last year. If healthy, what should people expect from him? What are some expectations for Vernon going into a second season?
Well, I think people are going to be excited about Vernon's ability to create negative plays. As a point of attack run defender, Vernon has the quickness. He's got tremendous athletic attributes for someone his size. He's 323 pounds with first step quickness. And I think we're going to get more pass rush production from Vernon than what we saw, especially as a one-on-one guy.
Can switch gears to Deshaun Hall for a minute. We talked about him at the rookie minicamp. He's a guy kind of just beginning that process, obviously, where Vernon was a year ago, rookie defensive end. You had a private workout with him. I don't know if that was highly publicized that you had done that. And he may have been a little under the radar because he had that Myles Garrett character on the other side of the line at Texas A&M.
Right.
So what did you think about the weekend he had and, kind of his path from this point forward?
I'm very excited about Deshaun. Deshaun right now is his eyes are wide open. And the best thing about Deshaun with the interaction that I've had with him is he's really receptive. Okay, he's a tremendous listener, and the feedback that you give him about what he's doing and what we went over in the meeting room and how that applies out on the practice field, I just like his level of focus. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that he came out there and he didn't have any challenges that he had to overcome. That practice field was full of draft picks and highly motivated guys who were trying to make our football team. And so that's a huge adjustment for a guy like Deshaun.
Can you talk about kind of your approach with rookies at that position? You talked about a little bit over the weekend. He was saying, I think coach wants me to play against San Francisco, referring to week one. But can you kind of expand on, the role? You said the role will take care of itself, but that's the mentality you want guys coming in the door with, right?
Yeah, from day one, we don't waste any time. I mean, we expect to see a return on that investment. I mean, when you draft a player, you want to envision him or to be in a position to contribute to what we're doing, and that means week one. And so every day we need to make progress toward that. And so there's a sense of urgency with me as a position coach managing that investment, and I want to make sure I communicate that to the players that you are expected to make a contribution. Now, how large his role will be, but if Deshaun walks on the football field against the 49ers, I expect him to understand how to function and to be a factor in the football game as a run defender or pass rusher. I expect him, and he will be a factor.
He's admitted that he needs to put on some more muscle. What made him worth trading up for? I know, and you're not the guy who pulled the trigger on the trade, but I know you're a guy who's probably most excited about him.
Well, the position traits, Bill. I mean, the guy is 6'5". He's got tremendous length and quickness. He's got a lot of things that you look for as a left or right defensive end. And with all players coming into the National Football League, there's a certain amount of development that you should be able to anticipate from those guys, and he's no different. But the position traits, the speed, the length, the quickness, and then not only that, but some of the practical things that we saw on tape with him competing. He competed extremely hard. And he wasn't the guy that was sitting around benefiting from playing on the other side from a guy as talented as Myles Garrett. He forced some things in his own right. So the combination of his film and his position traits were really attractive to us.
Eric, I thought it was interesting in Brian's story where he interviewed you from rookie minicamp. You referred to the college game really as a distant cousin of professional football.
Right.
And I find that fascinating because we talk a lot about the transition that these guys have to go through, and it's kind of just left there. It's just understood. It's in general terms, it's a transition. But you know, the way you put it out there, it speaks to that this is a big jump going from college football to the professional level. And I'm just wondering if you can give us a little more insight into how different it actually is to play defensive end at Texas A&M, and now you're playing defensive end for the Carolina Panthers, and it's not just as simple as get after the quarterback and go make a play in the backfield. That there's, it's so nuanced, and what you're asking them to do is different than what he was asked to do in the SEC.
Right. Well, you look at personnel. I mean, you know, the fullback position is all but phased out of most college football offensive philosophies. You don't have that element. And so that's one aspect where you are now at the point of attack. You're playing a six technique, and you've got to set the edge. You have to dominate or be extremely disruptive at the point of attack. That's one aspect from just a personnel, the tempo of college football, and the amount of plays that a lot of that philosophy that they will try to incorporate. The biggest thing that we see is the fact that in terms of the drop back pass tempo and the true one-on-one edge rushers, it's just a little bit different here. There's a lot of spread. Ball comes out extremely fast in college football, and these guys are taking one or two steps, and now they're pursuit players. Here, right. You know, there's a lot more drop back pass tempo, and you have to beat guys that are exceptional outside on the edges, and sometimes multiple layers of guys, especially when you start chipping defensive ends and the different protection concepts that we'll see. So the overall philosophy is just a little bit different in terms of the one-on-one pass rush aspect and the types of run concepts that we see, the heavier jumbo offensive linemen and the more of the traditional gap scheme, you know, fullback type runs. So that's some of the things that we'll see at this level that I don't know that they see a lot in college football anymore.
Well, I got the sense that Deshaun was off to a good start with you because right away he told the media, G2X, get to the spot, which I know if he's saying that early, that means he's gotten your message.
Right.
And he said, we rush. So, if there's two things I know about Eric Washington, it's get to the spot and rush. So it sounds like he's been pretty receptive to the messages that you're going to be delivering throughout the season.
Well, those things work hand in hand. We have to stop the run, and we want to generate pressure with our front four. Philosophically, that's how we're built. We're a front in coverage. We have blitz schemes that complement what we want to do, but philosophically, that's our foundation. And I want the guy. We're single minded where that's concerned, and I want the guys to understand how important that is.
Does he have his shirt yet? Has he got him? Or does he have to earn that?
He has to earn his shirt in training camp. We don't give those.
I got you.
We do not give those out.
Max makes it sound so easy. Just those two things. It's right there, right? And now he can play week one. He's ready.
Yeah,
he might have to beef us up a little bit.
When you see him with his shirt on at Wofford College, you'll know that. he's making progress.
That he's checked some boxes for it. Yes. Okay.
All right. I think just going to your UDFAs real quick, Ben Boulware, Fred Ross, they were really the two names that most people stuck to going into last week's minicamp. But Brian Cox Jr., I know you know his dad.
Very well.
He doesn't seem like his dad, though. He doesn't have the, first of all, I think the personality that you know of a Brian Cox, the Brian Cox Jr. isn't the same.
Well, you know, when you stand and talk to Brian Cox Jr., I mean, he sounds to a certain degree, and I've had a different kind of interaction with his father. He sounds almost just like him. The intensity is definitely there, and that's the one thing about his father, remembering him as a player and knowing him the way that I do as a coach in the NFL. They are both very intense individuals, and so that's where you can easily see that this is his father's son.
What does Junior have to do to – I'm not sure if I should be calling him Junior because he's certainly much bigger than me, first of all. What does he have to do to stick around when you get down to 53?
Well, just take advantage of every opportunity that he has to show us that he can be productive. Our front four, we have to expect and anticipate a certain amount of production from those guys, you know. Tackles for loss, you know, being a factor as a point of attack run defender, winning one-on-one as a pass rusher. He has to show us that he can do that consistently, and if he does that, which we think he's got a chance to do that, then he'll stay around.
Well, awesome, Eric. We appreciate you taking the time. I know this was a big deal for you being our first guest, so congratulations on that, too.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Yeah, welcome to the radio studio. I understand this is the first time you've been in here. What'd you think?
It's nice. It's awesome. I may come in here and just have lunch one day.
Huh? Nice and quiet, right? Unless people are talking, and then we'll try and find some generic Earth, Wind, and Fire that maybe we can play under coming back after the break.
It'd be awesome. I look forward to listening.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, back to wrap up this edition of the Panthers podcast. And Max, besides his preference for Earth, Wind, and Fire, what did you make of Eric Washington?
I got to. That was a highlight, first of all. Love Earth, Wind, and Fire. Love that Eric Washington loves Earth, Wind, and Fire. But
will you listen to September on your way home tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to listen to it as soon as we get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll turn it back
on. Which means we'll be listening to it.
Yeah, we'll just get it going in the office a little bit. But it's great talking to Eric because of how important the defensive line is to this team, this defense. They set the tone up front. He's obviously got some really good players, and he drafted another young one. And it's always interesting to hear him talk about the transition that those young players have to go through coming from college to the pros. And look, he's been here long enough now where everybody who walks into that D-line room knows exactly what he's going to expect. And we joke about the G2X and the Wee Rush, but that's – as complicated as this becomes, it also is pretty simple, too. And that's the focus of those guys. And Eric drills it into their brains throughout practice, training camp, through the regular season. This is a team that wants to get after the quarterback. They got the guys to do it. And it's exciting to hear Eric kind of talk about the group he's got going into this new season.
I wonder if Eric has, being a big Earth, Wind, and Fire guy, if he has brought that to the defensive line room at all. If he has, like, you know, made these guys maybe competitive, hey, who's going to be Earth? Who's Wind? Who's Fire in this group? Ooh. What do you think?
So you're putting on your coaching hat.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start that process if we want to kind of try to assign those titles. I think.
So we're coming up with new nicknames now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe this could have T-shirt possibilities as well, I would think.
Yep. I'm seeing money signs right now.
Yeah, so with Earth, I mean, you got to go with Star in the middle, right? Because you have to move heaven and Earth to get him off of his spot, I feel like.
So we're going to leave this just the defensive line in then?
Yeah, just defensive line. Just because this will be in Eric's room. So.
Okay. So Wind, that one seems obvious to me, Mario Addison.
I think Mario is the Wind. Yeah. Brian, you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Makes sense.
Speed
so
guy,
quick.
Becoming more than that, but that's what he's known for.
Fire.
Understandably so.
It'd be fire.
Well, on a couple of fronts on that, Julius Peppers.
You've thought about
fire, right?
Sounds like you've done a little bit.
Although he's got a little
thinking.
He's got a little fire and ice thing going on too, right? Because he's kind of a cool character out there. But he's fiery, even peppery, you might say.
Have you ever looked into getting into marketing?
I think I may have a future there since this probably will not be working out.
Hey, Julius, Brian Strickland, nice to meet you. Listen, I have an idea. You see. It's like a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm going to go to Mario first to talk about it, though. I think we'd all agree.
Soft landing
probably,
on that one.
Probably the first person to go to. Maybe get Captain involved. My friend in the defensive backfield that's back in the building, he might be down with that, too, actually.
Okay. Well, good luck. Let us know how that all works out.
All right, sure.
And we get a kick on the proceeds.
Just Max. I think he was the one that actually mentioned, Wind being Mario. So just, I don't know if you're in this or not.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Let us know how that does. Well, folks, if you're still with us, we appreciate
if you're somehow still with us
to the Panthers podcast. And as we go along with these things, obviously we'll be trying to refine them and make them better and more interesting. And not to say, of course, this wasn't entirely incredibly interesting, but we will effort more guests, players, coaches.
We're on the up and up.
Yeah. Are we? We're on the way. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Panthers podcast. For Max and Brian, I'm Bill. Talk to you later.